Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Slinton's. I'm joined again today by my colleague Suzanne Dixon, who is an associate in the residential conveyancing team here at Slinton's. And our podcast today is episode 4. Can't believe we're on episode 4 already of our Understanding Residential Conveyancing podcast series. Podcast today, as usual, will last approximately 10, 15 minutes. And Suzanne is going to concentrate on common conveyancing problems and how to resolve them. So without any further ado, straight over to Suzanne. Suzanne, good morning and over to you.
Good morning, David. Thank you. So unfortunately, conveyancing can sometimes be a long and stressful process at times, depending on what happens along the way. There are a few issues that we often come across during conveyancing transactions, which can delay the progress or sometimes even bring the transaction to a halt. So these are the four most common issues that I've come across during my time of practicing in residential conveyancing. So number one is the lack of necessary certificates or other documentation for works that have been carried out to a property. Number two are defects in the legal title, which have to be resolved before the property can be sold. Number three are problems revealed by searches and surveys. And number four is trying to coordinate a chain so that everyone's ready to exchange at the same time and a completion date can be agreed. So each of these problems has the potential to be resolved in various ways. Every transaction and set of circumstances are unique, so there's no automatic fix that fits all situations. However, with some good legal advice and open communication between solicitors, the majority of issues encountered can be resolved. So first I'm going to talk about number one, lack of necessary certificates or other documentation for works that have been carried out to a property. So it can quite often be the case that the property you're selling or buying does not have all of the correct documentation in place for works that have been carried out over the years. If this happens, it'll depend on what works have been done and how long ago they were carried out as to what solution can be agreed between the parties. If the works were fairly recent, it's more likely that the buyer will insist on the correct documentation being put in place before the transaction can proceed. The older the age of the works, the more likely it is that another solution can be found. One of the most frequently used solutions is to put what's called an indemnity insurance policy in place. Indemnity insurance policies can cover a range of issues, including the lack of building regulation completion certificates and planning permissions. Standard policies tend to be inexpensive, though it does depend on the issue they're dealing with and the value of the property as to how much they cost. And they're easy to put in place. So if an issue has been identified which can be covered by an indemnity insurance policy, then the person buying the property has to give consideration as to whether they're prepared to go ahead with the policy rather than having the issue resolved properly. An indemnity insurance policy offers cover for monetary loss that might be suffered as a result of the problem that's been found, but it doesn't resolve the problem. If you're in the process of buying a property and indemnity insurance has been offered for any reason, your solicitor will explain it to you what the policy will cover. For example, you might be buying a property that's had a new boiler installed. However, the seller did not obtain a building regulation completion certificate to confirm that the boiler has been installed in accordance with current standards. Depending on how long ago the boiler was installed, the seller's solicitors might offer you a building regulations indemnity policy to cover the lack of certificate. This policy will generally cover the buyer's mortgage lender, and anyone they sell the property to in the future against any loss in value of the property should enforcement action be taken by the local authority. From a legal point of view, this gives you the ability to proceed with the transaction. However, you have to consider that the indemnity insurance policy doesn't cover the standard of the works. So if after completion you find that the boiler is not working, the indemnity policy won't cover the cost of having it fixed or replaced. It's therefore very important that you have the boiler checked by a professional before you exchange contracts to make sure it works and meets the requirements from a health and safety perspective. Consider whether you think going ahead with an indemnity policy is sufficient, or whether you feel it would be better to have the problem dealt with and resolved, which would take more time and potentially cost more, but means you can then proceed without any ongoing concerns for the future. As I mentioned before, every set of circumstances are different, so a solution that works for one person is not necessarily the right answer for another person. So the second common problem that we come across in conveyancing are defects in the legal title which have to be resolved before a property can be sold. If there's a problem discovered with the legal title for the property, then it's down to the seller and their solicitors to resolve the issue to the satisfaction of the buyer and any mortgage lender that the buyer has. The seller solicitors and the buyer solicitors should agree between themselves the best way to deal with the issue and advise their clients accordingly. It may be that an indemnity insurance policy can be used, or it may be that the land registry have to be involved to rectify problems with the register or the title plan. The issue might be that there's no right way to access the property, or maybe a covenant's being breached. If the property is leasehold, it may be that the lease needs to be extended or sometimes buried or amended. Unfortunately, this can take more time if the freeholder has to become involved. The solicitors should look at the problem and the potential ways to solve it and then explain the pros and cons of each solution, taking into account how long it will take, how much it will cost, and any risks of further problems being encountered. Try not to base your decision as to how to deal with any issues purely on timescales. Although the conveyancing process can be pressurised by time and no one wants to lose a potential seller or buyer due to delays, it's sometimes the case an issue has to be resolved properly and this is the best way to progress to the next step of the transaction. So the third common issue that we come across are problems revealed by searches and surveys. If your surveyor has notified you of any specific issues relating to the property you're buying, you should always follow up on their advice and obtain further reports or carry out more investigations into the problems they've found. Please always remember that you can walk away from a deal right up to the point of exchange of contracts. So it's important that you get all of the information available before exchange so you can make an informed decision as to whether you want to go ahead before you legally commit yourself to the deal. If you feel that the purchase price for the property needs to be renegotiated in the light of any surveyor's comments or search results that have come back with adverse entries, then all price negotiations need to be conducted via the estate agent. If you're getting a mortgage, please bear in mind that the purchase price in your mortgage offer has to match the purchase price in the contract and transfer. So if you do agree a price reduction, then your mortgage lender must be notified about it. Now, lastly, the common problem that we have is trying to coordinate a chain so that everyone's ready to exchange at the same time and a completion date can be agreed. Now, this might sound like a straightforward issue, but unfortunately, even once you've negotiated all the legal problems, any search and survey issues, when you come to actually agreeing a date, if there's lots of parties involved in the chain, this can be really problematic. Due to the fact that no timescales can be guaranteed for a conveyancing transaction, as you never know what's going to be flagged up along the way, it's important that you don't fix on a completion date too early in the process. If you're a first-time buyer and you're currently living in rented accommodation, it's not advisable to hand your notice into your landlord until you've exchanged contracts on your purchase and you know it's definitely going to go ahead on the agreed date. Otherwise, you add to the pressure and stress of the transaction by having a deadline looming. It's, you know, when you have to move out of your current accommodation. If there's any delays on your purchase or further up the chain, this could potentially mean you have to renegotiate your leaving date with your landlord or even move into temporary accommodation. Likewise, if you're selling and buying at the same time, you're going to be eager to start packing and to book a removal company, but you have to remember that you're part of a chain and you have no control over how quickly the other parts of the chain progress. If you are part of a chain, then all of the parties in the chain must have completed all of their searches, surveys, and title investigations and have their mortgage offers and funds in place before you can look to agree a completion date that everyone can do. This can prove to be really tricky, and it can come down to how flexible people are willing to be. Things like work commitments, holidays, and needing to be in catchment areas for local schools can all contribute to parties in the chain being unable to commit to the same completion date. In rare circumstances, it may be that one party has to break the chain, which means that they complete their sale before their purchase complete, and they have to move into temporary accommodation to bridge the gap. People try to avoid this as it's not much fun having to move twice, but sometimes it's the only way to coordinate the chain and get things moving. So the overall message from these 4 points is that things can be resolved, but the best thing to do is keep communication open between parties at all time. Don't rush into a transaction only thinking of the short term. Buying a property is a big investment and you must be happy everything's been done properly and every issue has been resolved. Otherwise, in the long term, you may face problems. I hope that's been helpful. I'm going to hand you back over to David.
Thanks, Suzanne. Enjoyed listening to that as always. Very quickly for me, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And you can also follow the residential conveyancing team at Sintons on Twitter, at Sintons, C-O-N-V-E-Y-A-1. That's Sintons Conveyor 1. As I mentioned each time, if you'd like to discuss anything Suzanne's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her. Contact details via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email suzanne.dixon@sintons.co.uk. Once again, thanks very much for listening and stay safe, everyone.